हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैत गराधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 50. Killing of Narakasura. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Then with two arrows, Lord Krishna struck the trident flying towards Garuda and broke it into three pieces. Next, the Lord hit Mura's faces with several arrows, and the demon angrily hurled his club at the Lord. As Mura's club sped towards him on the battlefield, Lord Garadgaraja intercepted it with his own and broke it into thousands of pieces. Mura then raised his arms high and rushed at the unconquerable Lord, who easily sliced off his heads with his disc weapon. Lifeless, Mura's decapitated body fell into the water like a mountain whose peak had been severed by the power of Lord Indra's thunderbolt. The demon's seven sons, enraged by the father's death, prepared to retaliate. Ordered by Bhamasura, Mura's seven sons, Tamra, Antariksha, Shravana, Vibhavasu, Vasu, Nabhasvan, and Aruna, followed their general, Pita, into the battlefield bearing their weapons. These fierce warriors furiously attacked the invincible Lord with arrows, swords, clubs, spears, lances, and tridents. But the Supreme Lord, with unfailing prowess, cut this mountain of weapons into tiny pieces with his arrows. The Lord severed the heads, thighs, arms, legs, and armor of these opponents, led by Pita, and sent them all to the abode of Yamaraj. Narakasura, the son of the earth, could not contain his fury when he saw the fate of his military leaders. Thus he went out of the citadel with elephants born from the milk ocean, who were exuding mada from their foreheads out of excitement. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, they all went to the abode of Yama. They died. However, after that, they attained liberation. Achyuta here means that his weapons were unfailing in their purpose. The leaders were killed by having their heads cut off, etc., with ease, from far away by the Lord's weapons. Right? So it wasn't like they were so close and it was dangerous like that. It's just he very easily did this. Bhauma saw this because he went up on top of the fort. He was called Naraka because from birth he had a wicked nature, taking human heads in his mouth as soon as he was born. The story is told in the Kalika Purana. He was the son of the earth and thus had great power. He emerged from the fort with elephants born from the milk ocean. This means that the elephants came in the family of Airavata, who came from the milk ocean. Previously, they were of that family, but now on the enemy's side. Yes.
His mother is always mentioned, but his father is Varaha, so how is it possible that the son of the earth and Varaha, both very, you know, pious in God himself, becomes an Asura and, you know, does what he does?
Yeah, I think that was that. I think there was another discussion. There was a discussion of this before that Prabhupada points out that it's association. So if you have bad association, even the best persons can become bad. That's why association is so important. You know, you see like Kritavarma and Akrura, because of bad association, then they got involved in activities they actually technically should not have. So that's why association is so important. because it's personal. They're an individual, they're a person, and now they can, by association, they can make their choice. Does that make sense? Yeah? So, in other words, it happens.
Because it's the same doubt that the sons of Advaita Charja, some of them...
I think that's maybe where the discussion is. It's because of association. So because Shantipur is full of all kinds of individuals that are not devotees, right? Bhaktivinoda, of course, said they're famous for fine cloth and Vaishnava aparad. These two they can do very well. Like, you know, just very subtly and seemingly... pleasantly, but you know, very, 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 you know, they, yeah. So then, what am I saying? So like that, then bad association, then they became affected in that way. So I think three became Mayavadis, and then three remained as devotees. So that's the whole point, is if that can happen, or like Prabhupada's children, like that. I think the daughter was always favorable, but the, you know, one son was specifically not, and one son was, you know, kind of in between. So then, you know, it's just by association. Everybody has their individual, how you say, freedom. Yes.
Right, but when there's purity, then why is there the choice, or why isn't there the proper discrimination to choose the right association?
That it's individual. So somehow or another, that's how it works out.
That choices can be made even when you're pure in consciousness.
Yes, but generally if you keep proper association, you won't make them. See, once you've come basically on the path of devotion, then generally you won't have that. But if you haven't made that commitment, then you can easily get distracted. Right? So it's not saying that like the Dvaitacharya's sons grew up, they were all good, pure Vaishnavas and all that, and then one day they become Mayavadis. You know, so from the beginning they must have kept bad association. So same with Narakasura. So it just happens.
So that is the essence of Tatastra Shakti. They can choose.
Yeah, they can choose. Someone has to seize that choice is there. But once you take up the proper association of pure Vaishnavas, generally you'll never get distracted by the other. But it can, but that's why until you come to the platform of prema, that's solid. But before that, then things happen. That's why one has to be careful at all times. Not that we're more advanced or we don't have to care. No, distraction is always a possibility if we're not following what is recommended. So that's why we always follow what's recommended. So it's not that, oh, we're above the rules or this or that. No. Those on the platform of prema, then they're above rules here. But they only come here to preach, so why wouldn't they follow the rules? Right, so who is advanced that doesn't follow the rules? Who is that? You know, so we don't have example of that. So, yeah. You know something? No. Okay. So yes. So then these elephants, they're relatives of Airavata, but now they're on the demon side rather than on the devotees, the demigod side. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, Lord Krishna and his wife, mounted upon Garuda, looked like a cloud with lightning sitting above the sun. Seeing the Lord, right, because you have the sun and then you have clouds that are there, you know, there's dark rain clouds and then there's lightning, so you have all of them at once, right? So it's not in darkness, it's in lightning. Seeing the Lord, Bhauma released his Shatagni weapon at him, whereupon all of Bauma's soldiers simultaneously attacked with their weapons. At that moment, Lord Garadgraja shot his sharp arrows at Bhaumasura's army. These arrows displaying variegated feathers soon reduced that army to a mass of bodies with severed arms, legs, and necks. The Lord similarly killed the opposing horses and elephants. Lord Hari then struck down all the missiles and weapons the enemy soldiers threw at him. O hero of the Kurus, destroying each and every one with three sharp arrows. Meanwhile, Garuda, as he carried the Lord, struck the enemy's elephants with his wings. Beaten by Garuda's wings, beak, and talon, the elephants fled back into the city, leaving Narakasura alone on the battlefield to oppose Krishna. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments. After describing cutting up the armies of the enemy troops, cutting up their weapons is described. The arms, okay. Astras are arrows and other missiles, and shastras are swords and other hand weapons, right? So you have astra and shastra. That makes sense? So shastra means it's just, you know, hands, swords, clubs, this kind of weapons. And even arrows that are not imbued with mantra. But when you use mantra on them, then it becomes astra. Like that. So the general position is the chariot drivers and the elephant drivers, they're using astras. And the cavalry and the foot soldiers, they're using shastra. Is that? Yeah. But it's not that those who know astras can't use anything. Like you see, they use a blade of grass, or Arjuna used a torch. You know, like that. So they can use whatever they want. So yeah. One by one, he shot down each weapon with three arrows before the weapons thrown could reach their target. He had killed the throwers of the weapons and then destroyed the missiles while they were still in the air. Each with three arrows. And the arrows were shot one after the other, not three at once. Right? Because you can't shoot many at once, but they were shooting one at a time. So that means they were so quick at shooting. Right, so they would shoot the arrow, shoot down the weapon, you know, kill the person, cut off their arm, cut off their head, you know, something, you know, whatever.
Well, we say that whatever soldiers were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they got liberated because the Lord killed them. Here applies the same?
Yes. It's just a matter of where they go after that. So those are liberated. Yeah, means these are, you know, opposing and all those. So therefore, then they may go to see they die, you know, and then after that they get liberation. But then those who are more favorable, then it may be, you know, less of them. But they'll always get there. Anybody killed by the Lord, or let's say by Arjuna and all that, they all get benefited. So quick was Krishna's shoot that in amazement Sukadeva cried out, "O Kuru Dvaha Parikshit, such swiftness cannot be conceived by any of the Kurus, such as Bhima and Arjuna, though they had been taught by Krishna." So Arjuna could shoot that it looked like it was just one stream of arrows, but Krishna's quicker. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, seeing his army driven back and tormented by Garuda, Bhauma attacked him with his spear, which had once defeated Lord Indra's thunderbolt. But though struck by that mighty weapon, Garuda was not shaken. Indeed, he was like an elephant hit with a flower garland. Bhauma, frustrated in all his attempts, took up his trident to kill Lord Krishna. But even before he could release it, the Lord cut off his head with his razor-sharp chakra as the demon sat atop his elephant. The BBT purport mentions, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti, as Bhauma raised his invincible trident, Satyabhama, sitting on Garuda with the Lord, said to Krishna, "Kill him right away." And Krishna did just that. Right? Because he could play more, but then she'll get disturbed. Right? So then he just kills him right away. That's one aspect. The other aspect is that since he is the son of Bhumi, and Bhumi is an expansion of Satyabhama, if she said kill him, then what's the problem? Right? Can't complain. So that was what we had discussed before as part of the plan. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. Fallen on the ground, Baumasura's head shone brilliantly, decorated as it was with earrings and an attractive helmet. As cries of alas, alas, and well done arose, the sages and principal demigods worshipped Lord Mukunda by showering him with flower garlands. Verses 23 to 31, prayers by Goddess Bhumi. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. The goddess of the earth then approached Lord Krishna and presented him with Aditi's earrings, which were made of glowing gold inlaid with shining jewels. She also, so it wasn't studded, it was inlaid. So that means it's more of a process. So they were quite heavy. She also gave him a Vaijayanti flower garland, Varuna's umbrella, and the peak of Mandara Mountain. Srila Sanatana Goswami remarks. Bhu lived always in the house of Naraka, being his mother. Or she appeared at that time. Right? So she either lived there or she just appeared at that time. Both work. She approached Krishna, directly Bhagavan, and her husband. The Vaijayanti is a five-colored garland, and the Vanamala is a garland made of leaves and flowers. Right? So that's the will be the difference. So when you put the leaves in it, or we combine them, so we do both. But they're actually two different styles. Okay, an evolved garland made of leaves and flowers extending to the feet. She offered him the earrings along with a vana mala and Vaijayanti garland. So he gave both. After that, she offered the umbrella and mountain. So the garland then is natural because she's earth, so all smell comes from the earth. So the flowers, the fragrance of the flowers is coming from the earth. So then that would be a natural offering from Bhu Devi to the Lord. So,
if Krishna is he says that it's her husband, and Bhumasura is
their son.
Okay, so he killed his own son.
Do we want to? We want to do what we were discussing this morning by changing the context. So it says Varaha Dev, then is his son. As Krishna, then. But the point is that as their expansion, so just as Krishna's expansion is the father, and Satyabhama's expansion is the mother, like that. Because if Krishna just comes and he had just killed, then she might complain, right? Because Krishna's there, no? She could complain, no? Yeah. But if the woman's female boss is there, can you complain? No. Okay, so then it's all worked out. So the garland is him, and you can understand is his supreme position, because he can wear garlands down to his feet and still function very nicely. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, O king, after bowing down to him, and then standing with joined palms, the goddess, her mind filled with devotion, began to praise the Lord of the universe, whom the best of demigods worship. Goddess Bhumi said, Obeisances unto you, O Lord of the chief demigods, O holder of the conch shell, disc, and club, O supreme soul within the heart. You assume your various forms to fulfill your devotees' desires. Obeisances unto you. Srila Sanatana Goswami remarks, You are the protector of devatas like Brahma. Deva Devesha. Therefore, you hold the conch, disc, and club to kill the wicked. You appear in various forms, like Matsya, by the desire of your devotees. You give them the proper intelligence, Paramatman. The order of holding the weapons is from lower left hand, and ending with the right lower. Since his consort is situated on his left, she is mentioned first from the left. At this time, he was seen with four arms, as Narada sees him. Or, Deva Devesha means Narayana. That is true. Okay. That is true. He is you. Thus the forearm form is described, holding the conch, etc. And so she'll hold him in that order because that's the side that she's on. Right? Generally, when you see him described, then it'll be from the right. They'll start from the upper right, go across to the upper left, down to the lower left, and to the lower right. But in this case, then it's starting from her side, lower left, upper right, lower right. So then you know the context in which they're describing. Krishna said, "Why, if I am Narayana, am I also two-armed?" Bhumi replies, "You assume forms according to the desire of your devotees. Appearing as a human, you are beautiful. By your power, you spread everywhere, or you are the dearest to all people, Paramatma." Right? So Paramatma means you spread everywhere, or you are the dearest to all people. So the point is because he's spread everywhere, that's the aspect that everybody is attracted to. Right? That's the husband of the husband. Right? Or the self that is there, that was being spoken of this morning. Like that. Does that make sense? So that aspect that he's spread everywhere, everyone's attracted to Krishna in these forms as he's spread everywhere. Right? But they think it's the body rather than it's the Lord who's his potency is what's making everything work.
Can we say that the potency of Pradyumna, that's attractive?
Yes, because that's why Garbhodakshay Krishna is Pradyumna. So that's why he's attractive. The same time as Kiradakshay, he's the goal. So that's how they both can be described as the Vishwarup. You know, depending on whether you're taking the attractive feature of the Lord or as the Lord is the goal. So that makes sense. Yeah. So he's spread everywhere, or he's the dearest to all the people. They mean the same thing. They're bringing out different aspects. But he's dear to everyone, and he's spread everywhere. Right? So spread everywhere, what people are attracted to, that's him. So what they consider important, that's actually Krishna. So he's the dearest. We take it as the body, the particular relation, situation, but it's Krishna. So therefore, Krishna's the dearest. And that's there for everyone. That means he's spread everywhere, because every living entity is then seeing Krishna as the dearest. Though they think it's not Krishna, that's why they're an illusion. But those who see it as Krishna, then they're on the transcendental platform. Goddess Bhumi continued, "My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers." Right? In other words, he doesn't need an umbilical cord. Right? He is the origin. So that's why he says, you know, with a depression like a lotus flower. And is also decorated, looks like a lotus. "Whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses." Oh, this is that verse. Yeah, it says that whose feet are engraved with lotuses. That's Pankajungri. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, "This verse elaborates on the phrase Deva Deva Shah of the last verse and praises Krishna. Sridhar Swami in his commentary makes lotus feet in the dual form, since Krishna has two feet, even though only one of his feet is marked with the lotus. Using the word lotus can also be interpreted as an expression of the Lord's beauty. His navel is compared to a lotus because his navel is deep like a lake, from which the lotus of Brahma sprouts, or because Krishna has a navel shaped like a lotus." It means all these things. So all that's the point of the aspects of the words. It has all these aspects to it. It's not that it sometimes means this, sometimes means that. It's that all these apply. It's just in which context, which one's being prominent at the particular moment. Yeah? The first three elements, navel, garland, and eyes, are described in order of increasing beauty and consequently excellent. The feet are placed last to indicate beauty as an expression of devotion. Right? So she's going up through the navel, the garland, and then the eyes. That's the most beautiful, most attractive, and then that surrender, that devotion to that person with these aspects of the beauty of the lotus, then that aspect of the feet. himself.
It is saying in the lines of Kunti Maharani. She prays the same thing. Namakam Kalyanabhaya.
Oh, okay.
So it's the same verse. It goes here.
Oh, same verse. Yeah. Goddess Bhumi continued, obeisance is unto you, the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, Vishnu, the primeval person, the original seed. Obeisance is unto you, the omniscient one. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, I am playing in the ocean of your sweetness and Aishwarya. I pay respects to you, full of all powers. But though you are full of all powers, you are the son of Vasudeva. But still you are the original form of Bhagavan. Though you are the son of Vasudeva, you are also Vishnu, the all-pervading. Though you are all-pervading, you are still a person. Right? So all these contradictions, they always bring out. Right? That he's the Supreme Lord, but he's the son of Vasudeva. Even though he's son of Vasudeva, he's you know, how you say, still all-pervading. He's all-pervading, but he still has a form. So, you know, like these theses. Though you are all-pervading, you are still a person, individualized. Though you are individualized, you are the source of all, even of Vishnu, as shown in the Brahma Vimohana Lila. Though you are such a seed, you are form of complete consciousness itself. That is Brahman. In other words, though you are endowed with infinite spiritual qualities, you are also the impersonal Brahman. Though you are unborn, you generate the universes. Though you generate the universes, you are impersonal Brahman. Though you are impersonal and without qualities, you are endowed with form and unlimited qualities and energies. Though you have unlimited energies, you have three principal energies, Tathasta, Bahiranga, and Antaranga. You are the jiva composed of all the elevated and degraded souls. You are the body made of the five gross material elements, Bhutatma. And you are the internal witness, Paramatma. So in this way, again, he's also then jiva. Yes.
Yeah. On the way that Nandi Devi, she's the wife of Krishna. And we find that the prayers of hers are similar to the devotees and other devotees in Bhagavatam offer. But Goddess Bhumi is wife, you know, but such a formal relationship she's having, you know, with her husband.
Bhumi Devi, you're saying, why it means that the prayers are like others who are speaking in such formality. But didn't you notice here, I am playing in the ocean of your sweetness and Aishwarya. So Aishwarya means Aishwarya.
Okay, so it's again Vaikuntha Bhav coming.
Yeah, means otherwise how do you get Bhumi?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Goddess Bhumi continued, obeisance is unto you of unlimited energies, the unborn progenitor of this universe. Right, so the unborn, but he's giving birth to everyone else. O soul of the high and the low, O soul of all created elements, O all-pervading super soul, supreme soul, obeisance is unto you. Desiring to create, O unborn master, you increase and then assume the mode of passion. You do likewise with the mode of ignorance when you wish to annihilate the universe, and with goodness when you wish to maintain it. Nonetheless, you remain uncovered by these modes. Right? So though he's using the modes, he's never covered by them. You are time, the pradhan, and the purusha. O Lord of the universe, yet still you are separate and distinct. Right, so he is all these things, but he's distinct. So then that the argument that Pradhan is, you know, then the Supreme, then is, but at the same time is that, but the Supreme is still beyond. Just like he is Jiva, but he is beyond. Does that make sense? So the point is everything coming from the Lord, it's all his energies, but at the same time, he's beyond all this. This is illusion, that earth, water, fire, air, ether, sense objects, demigods, mind, the senses, false ego, and the total material energy exist independent of you. In fact, they are all within you, my Lord, who are one without a second. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, since everything is produced of the Lord, nothing can be separate from him. Yet since he is transcendentally situated, nothing material can be identified with his personality. So So it's all produced from him. It's not separate from him, but he being transcendentally situated, then he's unaffected by these things because these are functioning within the material sphere. Everything, so they can't be identified with his personality. He as the Lord, yes, but as his personality, no. That's where the difference is. Everything is therefore simultaneously one with him and different from him. And the philosophers who try to separate everything from the Lord are certainly mistaken in their viewpoint. Right? Mistaken either trying to put him in a better position or not, or put themselves in a better position. In any case, anytime you separate the Lord and his energies, you're trying to put yourself in a better situation. Right? Either it's that there are no energies, and so therefore that then you're God, or then God's God, and he's controlling, you know, he's the control creator of everything, but now he's not actually involved in the maintenance of it, so therefore, you know, it's our duty to maintain. And so therefore you elevate yourself and your position. Right? So whether it's impersonalism or deism, still it's all about elevating themselves. Right? It sounds like it's about the Lord, but it's not actually. Srila Sanatan Goswami remarks. Well, it's like that, yeah. The word ata indicates a continuous list of the elements. The word cha, in another version, indicates buddhi and chitta. Right, so either way, you get the last. They all exist in you. Seeing them as separate entities is illusion. Brahma, though matter is eternal and real, right? So matter is eternal and real, but it's an illusion to see them separate from the Lord. So we say the material world's illusion, but it's only illusion when we separate it from the Lord. When we see a connection with the Lord, it's not an illusion. Then what is the fault? Maybe said, you are without compare. Adi vitiye. So what's the fault? They're without compare. Ekam eva dvitiyam. The Lord is one without a second. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.1. Though the moving and non-moving beings are not different from you, they are also different. O Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, belonging to you, they are not separate, but you, being Bhagavan, are also separate. So they belong to him, so we're not separate from him. But he being Bhagavan, he is separate. Does that make sense? So we're one with the Lord because we're non-different. We can't exist without him. But he being the origin of everything, he actually is independent. So he exists beyond that himself. Does that make sense? Then the fun part is how do we see it? We see the difference. Krishna sees the oneness. Even though with us it's the oneness and he's the difference. He sees the oneness, we see the difference. So like that, then everything works out. That's why it's always these opposites go together. So only when you deal with Krishna can all these opposites be very nicely, reconciled, everything. And for general philosophy, then only when you accept Vishnu can they be reconciled. Or everything is in you who are without a second. Right? It's all within you, so it's all one, but you are without a second, so there's no one else like you. What is the mistake since you are the container and everything is in you? There is no mistake. As your amshas, the jivas, having surupas of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, are not different from you, having conscious forms. Still, they are like waves in the ocean. There is difference between the ocean and the waves. That is indicated by O Bhagavan. The waves are not the ocean, and the jivas are not the Lord. Right? Because or everything is in you. Yes, so it's all part of. But at the same time, you are different from that. You are one without a second. Goddess Bhumi continued. Here is the son of Bhoma Sura. So the others that came out were
this demon.
Oh, they were Mura's sons. Okay, this is Bhoma Sura's son. Yeah. Here is the son of Bhoma Sura. Frightened, he is approaching your lotus feet. Since you remove the distress of all who seek refuge in you, please protect him. Place your lotus hand, which dispels all sins, upon his head. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Krishna said, please say what should be done. She does not mention her son's name because he is wicked. Bhumi requests, if he is wicked, even if he is your son, he should be killed. My grandson has approached you. He has surrendered to you. You should destroy the sorrow caused by his father. Right means the sinful situation. O destroyer of suffering for the surrendered, therefore make him fearless. Place your hand on his head. Right, because of the mundane, then one becomes fearful. And so by surrendering to the Lord, one becomes fearless. Krishna said, if I do that, then he will perform evil actions like his father. Bhumi replies, that hand destroys all sin. By the power of the touch of your hand, he will not commit offenses. That hand is compared to a lotus because it removes all suffering. Right? So that was the whole idea of all the lotuses. All the suffering is removed because if you absorb yourself in all these aspects of the lotuses of the Lord, you know, his garlands, his navel, his lotus feet, his glances, then you are free from all suffering. Verses 32 to 37. Krishna accepts 16,100 maidens abducted by Narak Asura. Srila Sukadeva continued, thus entreated by Goddess Bhumi in words of humble devotion, the Lord bestowed fearlessness upon her grandson and then entered Balmasura's palace, which was filled with all manners of riches. Right, so then she doesn't have the son, she has a grandson. And so that was nice. So because he was wicked, because that's the whole point, is that the king, that if the prince is behaving badly, he has to be punished. Like that, he has to correct him. Not that, oh, he's the prince, he's not corrected. So then Bhumi Devi's making the same point. Right? So being, you know, having that aspect of religiousness, then this is the proper way of dealing. There, Lord Krishna saw 16,000 royal maidens, whom Bauma had taken by force from various kings. The BBT purport mentions. Srila Sridhar Swami provides evidence from the sage Parasara, as quoted in the Vishnu Purana 5:29-31, to the effect that they were actually 16,100 royal maidens imprisoned in Bauma's palace. Quote, within the maiden's cordons, O wise one, that lord of unequaled prowess found 16,100 princesses. Another relevant verse from the Vishnu Purana, 5:29-9, is as follows. Deva siddha suradinam nripanam cha janardana hitva hi so sura kanya ru rodha nija mandire. The demon Bhaumasura kidnapped the unmarried girls, daughters of demigods, siddhas, asuras, and kings, O Janardana, and imprisoned them in his palace. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continues, just like we see Ravana's brother. His brother had, I think, Ravana had 10,000 wives, and his brother Kumbhakarna had, I think, a wife from each of the 400,000 species of humans.
He slept so much. That's why he slept so much.
Maybe. Like that. Because he didn't sleep for 6 months. So. Yes. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the women became enchanted when they saw that most excellent of males enter. In their minds, they each accepted him, who had been brought there by destiny as their chosen husband. With the thought, may providence grant that this man become my husband, each and every princess absorbed her heart in contemplation of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, sincerely and seriously, they offer their hearts to the lotus feet of Krishna with an unalloyed devotional attitude. As the super soul in everyone's heart, Krishna could understand their uncontaminated desire, and he agreed to accept them as his wives. Srila Sanatana Goswami remarks, how did they accept him? They each made a vow, the singular is used to show the intensity of the vow of each individual, because you could have said all of them together and used the plural, but they wanted to bring out how each one of them then, you know, made this vow. Thus the word pritak is used. May the Lord, who has special powers, since he protects the universe, make this man Krishna, who attracts my heart, my husband. Right? So they're approaching the Lord to have Krishna as the husband. So the same as you see the gopis in Vrindavan, then they're approaching the Katyayani to get Krishna as the husband, like this. Or Nanda Baba is worshipping Lord Vishnu to protect Krishna, like this. So it's all done out of affection. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, the Lord had the princesses arrayed in clean, spotless garments, and then sent them in palanquins to Dwarka, together with great treasures of chariots, horses, and other valuables. Right, so whatever, you know, so many things that were there, then were also sent. Lord Krishna also dispatched 64 swift white elephants, descendants of Airavata, who each sported 4 tusks. Right, so then those ones that were on that other side, then Garuda drove them back. And so they didn't get killed. So all the elephants that got killed, appears that they weren't these elephants. And so then these ones, because they ran back into the fort, so now they were dispatched to Dwarka. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, the word cha indicates that besides the 64 swift elephants, almost 60,000 other elephants were also sent to Dwarka. Vishnu Purana says, he saw 60,000 elephants with 4 tusks and 21 million horses from Kamboja. He sent the princesses, the elephants and horses to Dwarka, along with the servants of Naraka. Harivamsa gives the description of the guards. The elephant keepers were ferocious. They had curved goads made of coral, shirts of gold thread, and were equipped with bows and lances. They were made colorful with various attractive flags. They numbered 20,000. There were twice as many elephants. Thus, other than the 4 tusked elephants, there were many more. The second cha indicates those elephants were also sent. Varuna's umbrella and jeweled mountain were not sent to Dwarka, but were placed on Garuda and went to Swarga. Right, because these were taken from Swarga, they were taken back to Swarga. Right, because that's how the whole problem came up in the first place. Later it is said, the peak of the King of Mountains is worthy of supreme worship. The Vishnu Purana says, the Lord placed the umbrella of Varuna and the jeweled mountain on Garuda. Krishna raised up the umbrella of Varuna, which produced a shower of gold, and mounted Garuda. Right, so while it's there, the gold is shattered. So in the material world, you're going to end up with something in your hair, but at least here it's gold. Later it is said, the peak of the King of Mountains was worthy of supreme worship. It appeared to be a spotless sun and moon, a jeweled gate. It had birds, elephants, deer, snakes, monkeys, and trees. It was made of broad slabs of rocks. On it lived antelope, boars, and rurus. It had cliffs, huge plateaus, colorful peaks, and trees. Astonishing, inconceivable mountain herds of deer ran about on it. On it lived groups of partridges and peacocks. Mighty Krishna lifted the shining mountain with his arms and placed it on Garuda, the best of birds. Garuda, the best of birds, carried the jeweled mountain peak along with Krishna and his wife very easily. Right, because he can take any side, he has unlimited strength, so it's not a problem. So then the Naraka had taken this because it's a very, very beautiful playing place, and he just took, because the main part is the top of the mountain where the demigods would go, so he just took that part. He left the rest of the mountain. Right? And then he brought that so that he has the garden in his place. Right? So now Krishna's taking it back. Verses 38 to 41. Krishna steals the Parijata tree from Swarga Loka. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, the Lord then went to the abode of Indra, the demigod's king, and gave Mother Aditi her earrings. There Indra and his wife worship Krishna and his beloved consort Satyabhama. Then at Satyabhama's behest, the Lord uprooted the heavenly Parijata tree and put it on the back of Garuda. Everything goes on the back of Garuda. So that's a perfect thing. It just perfectly fits the two of them, or it has all the weaponry for the battle, or it can carry the mountain, or, you know, it's not that when the tree is there, then Krishna and Satyabhama are kind of squeezed down to one side. Like that. You know. Yeah. Like that, yeah. After defeating Indra and all the demigods, Krishna brought the Parijata to his capital.
This Parijata tree that we also have now, it resembles the original one, which is in Svarga.
It's a Parijata we have now. It's called Parijata because it's a very nice smell and those things like that. But it won't be that Parijata because, that I know of, then the agreement was, is after Krishna wound up his pastimes, that tree would go back to Indra's place. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't stay here. But it must have some particular potencies in that. Parijata is good. You know, very, but it's how you say? Yeah. I think, I'm not sure if it's 24 or 28 minutes. I think it's 24. From the time you pick Parijata flowers to the time that you start making medicine with them, in other words, start grinding them and that, you have 24 minutes. Otherwise, they lose the potency. Because every herb has a life. That the prana is there, that full prana. That's why you see is many times you take these medicines and they don't have the effect that it says that it does. That's because they didn't make it in the time period that they're supposed to. So it'll have some effect, but it'll take a lot longer. Because it should be, if everything's right, it's all prepared, it's done within the time, the volume, because you can't make more than also. Is one Ayurveda, one doctor at a time, in a particular area in a season, can only make a certain amount of medicine. He makes more than that. He can make the volume more, but the potency of the medicine will stay the same. So let's say he can make 100 bottles of medicine. That'll have and that's the authority. So each bottle has 100% of the potency. Now if he makes 200 bottles, then each bottle will have 50%. You understand? If he makes 1,000, they'll have 10%. So that's why when you use it as a business, then it loses its purpose. It'll have some effect, but it's slow, right? So that's why then for the Brahmins, it's not a business; it's their occupation. From that, they're maintained, of course, but it's not seen as a business and how you can make so much money. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, everything goes down. Yeah. How do we get into that? Yes, it was about the Parijata flower. Yeah, so then, you know, yeah, it may have some nice potencies and all that, but still you have to use it within the time and within the volume. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, the details of going to Indra's abode are given in Vishnu Purana. Garuda very easily carried the umbrella of Varuna, the jeweled mountain, Krishna and his wife, and went to Swarga. The Lord blew his conch when he arrived at the gate of Swarga. The devatas arrived and worshipped Krishna with Argya. After being worshipped, Krishna entered Aditi's abode, which resembled a shining peak, and saw her. He offered her respects along with Indra, presented her with excellent earrings. He described to Indra the killing of Naraka. Later it is said, Indra, in gratitude, along with Aditi, worshipped Krishna sufficiently, showing great respect. Harivamsa says, and this was, Vishnu Purana. Harivamsa says, he was worshipped by Indra and presented with jewels. Satyabhama was welcomed by Indra's wife properly. Vishnu Purana describes how his wife requested the Parijata. Krishna saw the Parijata filled with fragrance, laden with masses of buds, producing coolness and joy. Decorated with pink, young shoots and golden bark. It had been produced from the churning of the milk ocean. On seeing that tree, Satyabhama spoke to Krishna. O best of the Brahmanas, O Krishna, why can this tree not be brought to Dwarka? Yes, this is the method. If your words are true, and I am really dear to you. Please bring that tree for the garden in my house. Is there any way to say no to that? Yeah. Oh, Krishna, you have many times said that you do not desire Jambavati or Rukmini as much as you desire me. Oh, Govinda, if you have spoken true and your words are not just a decoration, then the Parijata should decorate my house. Carrying a bud of the Parijata in my hair, among all the co-wives, I will be glorious. This is what I desire. Right? So, yeah.
Yeah, because Satyabhama is saying, O best of Brahmanas.
O best of Brahmanas. Because Brahmanas speak truth. Whatever Brahmins say are true and come true. So, because he has spoken these, okay, you know, then let it be true. Yes.
Is that particular approach is unique to Satyabhama? Because she said it pretty straightforward.
The principle is there, and then according to the personality, they may say it in their own way. But what we're talking about here is the method. You know, is rather than, because in this, has anything been said directly?
Both, directly and indirectly.
No, but has she said, I want that, in words, did she say, I want that tree, and I want to, you know, impress all the other queens? No, but, so the words she said were all indirect, but what did it mean? It made very clear that that's what it is.
Yeah.
So that's the method. Okay. That's the whole point, is that it's very clearly things are spoken in an indirect way. So through the indirectness, clearness is there. So that's the whole think so. So she'll be more in that way. Very shortly it'll be. Others it'll be a little longer. Krishna may have to work it out. So, but you can't say what it'll be. But in any case, it'll be more intense. So even if someone is has the other mood, then they may say it more gently. You know, not as strongly, but. And it may take a little longer, but it's the same thing. But at the same time, as they may also not directly say. But if someone from this group says doesn't say and expects you to work it out, it'll be more intense. So the main point is intensity is greater. Does that make sense? Yeah. Completely conquering Indra, he brought the tree to Dwarka as his reward for helping Indra. Right, so not just a little bit of coming and just very nicely saying thank you and some argya and stuff like that. He took the tree. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, once planted, the Parijata tree beautified the garden of Queen Satyabhama's palace. Bees followed the tree all the way from heaven, greedy for its fragrance and sweet sap. Right, so it's so nice that he even came all the way down from there to get it going. So they were heavenly bees, not even just regular old bees. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains, this verse glorifies the Parijata. The bees, greedy for the nectar, flew here and there, coming from Swarga with the plant. Vishnu Purana gives details. The smell of the tree perfumed the earth for 3 furlongs. I think furlong is? Anyone know furlongs? Okay, only nouveau British. Okay, so furlong. I can't remember if it's 2 miles. There's something about it. Yeah, okay. But in any case, it's a long way. Right? 3 furlongs. So if it's just 2 miles, 6 miles. That means around. So 6 miles away, you could. So that would be 9 kilometers. And if furlong's longer, then it means more. And on approaching, it enabled everyone to recollect the events of a prior existence. You may or may not want to go near that. On beholding their faces in that tree, all the Yadavas saw themselves in celestial form. So they saw them, because before they were demigods, then they came down to take part in the Lord's pastimes.
1 foot long is 66 feet long.
66 feet. Okay, so it's a little shorter. 66 feet. What's the significance of 66 feet? Okay, so 66 feet. Okay. People who are not far away could hear various instruments and sweet singing coming from the tree. Whoever had even a slight desire in their heart received that object immediately from the Parijata. Because it's a how you say? Kalpavritri, yes. By desire, the tree of Krishna could become small or large. It was most remarkable. Sometimes its branches covered the whole of Dwarka. Sometimes it could be held in the hand, becoming as small as the thumb. Varuna's umbrella was given to Indra. The jeweled mountain was brought to Dwarka. Just saying what you, that was just in before about he carried the Parijata, and so this is just explaining that. And so the umbrella was given to Indra, because that goes back to Varuna, but it seems that the jeweled mountain was brought to Dwarka. Harivamsa describes this. Previously concerning construction of Dwarka, it is said, Indra brought Krishna the Sudharma assembly hall, standing within which a mortal man is not subject to the laws of mortality. Krishna also gave the Parijata tree.
Indra also gave. Indra also gave the Parijata tree.
Who did I say?
Krishna.
Oh, okay. Indra also gave. Srimad Bhagavatam 10, 50, 54. Sridhar Swami explains the contradiction. Indra brought the Parijata tree, or rather gave it up when Krishna took it. So that's why it's a Govinda Namo. It's for you. Or after it was established by Indra, the Lord himself forcibly brought it again. Harivamsa mentions this three times, showing the difference in strength between Indra and Krishna. Right? Because it's something unique to the heavenly planets, so that Krishna took it, then that shows his position, his prowess. Or the issue is resolved by saying that the Lord performed different pastimes in different kalpas. So either it has all these different aspects to it, or in different kalpas, whenever he performed the pastimes, then it came out differently. This time he took it by force. Another time, then Indra gave it. Another time, it was, how you say, it was given, and then somehow or another he came and took it. However it worked, it would be, these are different ways the Lord manifests the pastimes, or different aspects of the same pastime. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, even after Indra had bowed down, right? So that applies to any of these times when they say it's this or this or this. Either they can all be reconciled in that pastime, or they're dealing with different kalpas, right? Or they're talking about a particular mood of it, right? He gave it means he took it, so then he agreed that yes, it should be yours, and that way he gave. Does that make sense? Otherwise, he could keep that enmity and then try to come and take it back at night, you know, come down with the demigods and dig it up and try to go off with it and stuff. Yeah, but no, he didn't. He just left it. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, even after Indra had bowed down to Lord Achyuta, touching his feet with the tips of his crown and begged the Lord to fulfill his desire, that exalted demigod, having achieved his purpose, chose to fight with the Supreme Lord. What ignorance there is among the gods. To hell with their opulence, right? They have all the facility and everything, but they forget the Lord. So then what's the point of all their opulence and position? Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Actually, Krishna had purposely taken his wife Satyabhama with him so she could collect the Parijata with her own hand. But the denizens of the heavenly planets, including Indra, were very irritated. Without their permission, Satyabhama had uprooted a Parijata tree, which is not to be found on the earth planet. But they have to remember, Indra's wife is Indrani, but she's an expansion of Lakshmi, which means she's an expansion of Satyabhama. Yeah.
There's a very short period of time between Indra worshipping Krishna and then being irritated by his action. So how is that possible? He's not connected or?
Yeah, but I'm just saying is, you know, it's just like you've done some nice favor. You know, you come to the house, you deliver all these different things, you're welcome, you sat down, you're received, and all these things like that. And then when you leave, then you get in the guy's, you know, how you say, Lamborghini and drive off. So, time's not actually so... what do you think?
Consideration.
A consideration. You know, it's like that. Because they'll consider it's a heavenly planet thing, and so Krishna's given that. That's how the heavenly planet, so they'll have that. So they'll give just the standard things of worship and things like that. But then when he takes the Parijata tree, then that's, the, you know, a little bit beyond.
So is that a difference between, you know, nothing personal, but that is personal?
It's just they're attached, that's all.
Okay.
It's just a matter of attachment. You know, because we see Bali Maharaj, Krishna then took to the whole universe and he just surrendered.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. Indra's, we notice Indra's not on the list of the nine. Right? Like that. But Bali Maharaj is, right? So that's the thing. Yeah?
Srila Prabhupada further describes that usually materialistic persons, they very quickly forget about it, when they got they want. They
oh, then they forget. Okay. Good? Yeah.
Like he got his mother's earrings, but he took his wife's tree. It is in the garden, so it belongs to Indra's wife.
Yeah, but that's between the ladies. And as we said, she's the origin of Dana Lakshmi, so therefore...
I mean, he's more upset.
Huh?
That's why he's upset. Like.
Oh, there he's upset more. Okay, because okay, he got back his mother's earrings, but he took his wife's tree. Okay. Yeah, more.
Prabhupada is writing in the Parapat that all the denizens of heavenly planets got irritated, very irritated.
All of them, yeah. Because then it's... Because it seems that a human is performing these pastimes. I mean, is taking, so then their prestige, because it'll go down to earth. It's one thing if Vishnu took it and took it to how you say, you know, the milk ocean or like that, to Svetadweep or something, then okay, then they could, okay. But, you know, took it down to earth, you know, so. Yeah.
Maybe it's only one Parijat tree existing, that's why the fight.
That's there. But still, it's that, you know, for Bali Maharaj, there was only one universe, you know, so and he took the whole thing. Here he just took the Parijata tree. It's not like he took the whole heavenly planets and everything else. So.
Mm.
Yeah.
Were there many Parijata trees, or only one?
It appears that there's just this one.
Came from the milk ocean.
Came from the milk ocean, when they churned the milk ocean.
Ah,
so
yeah.
There's, it's also one of the ones. So you got the elephants that were, you know, from the milk ocean. He got the Parijata. You know, he's there with Lakshmi, who's from the, you know, the milk ocean. So it's all happening. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini ki.